Tonight, on an abbreviated episode of Orsini's Uncensored Mind, NXT fires the first shot on the USA Network, Brock Lesnar making his first match on SmackDown in 15 years, Glow's coming back with a fourth season, and of course, Area 51 is finally underway. We're going to talk about all this and a whole lot more on this episode of Orsini's Uncensored Mind.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, AJ Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, your main man, your soul brother from another mother. This is your host of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. This is AJ Orsini, and as I just said at the beginning of this whole intro here, we are having an abbreviated episode here of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. This is the episode 107. I am bequeathing on to all of you. And this is going to be a short one. And the reason why this is going to be a short one is because I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to keep it 100 as I normally do here on Orsini's Uncensored Mind. And I'm going to let all of you know I am not in the right place. I'm in a bad place. This has not been a good 24 hours for me. This has been, I haven't shared too much of this shit on social media because I don't put my whole life on social media. I try to keep it entertaining over on the social media, and it's not been a very entertaining 24 hours for me, to be honest with you. A lot going on in the personal life, a lot of things not going so well. We got into a little bit of a fender bender with the car yesterday, so that's been holding some things up. Everyone's fine. It wasn't really that big of a deal, but we're talking expenses now when it comes to repair to the vehicle. On another note, a sadder note, I don't want to start the show off with this because I'm trying to maintain some form of energy for the actual show, but the reason why this is an abbreviated episode here, I work a lot with children. I work a lot with special needs children, as a matter of fact. And I take that as a point of personal pride, as something that I enjoy doing. I love working with all kinds of children. This is something I've kind of always done. And you get attached to people, you know, especially when you're working with kids, you get attached. And you know, so when bad things happen, they hit you really, really hard. A few years ago, I had a situation where I had one of the kids that I was helping out had a heart attack in the middle of the night and passed away. This was, I think, pre-podcast. I'm not entirely sure, but this was a while ago. And it took a toll on me. It took a toll on a lot of people that were involved in his life. It was a 17-year-old boy, and he had a heart attack, believe it or not, in the middle of the night. He was special needs development wise, but he also had some heart issues, and he did not overcome them. And that was a few years ago, and that stung, and I was like, damn, I hope I never have to go through that again. And fortunately, it's not what the situation is now, but it does not look good. I have another kid that I work with now, one of many, but he is one. I've worked with him for the last 2 or 3 years. He's also disabled and mentally. There's like some form of autism that he deals with. And he's in the hospital. He's in critical condition right now. Who knows what's going to happen. So that's kind of why I'm a little on edge right now. I'm kind of like not here. A little fuzzy. Phone is right now by my side. No doubt about that because literally, I told him as soon as the information hits, whatever that information may be, to please hit me up on the phone and let me know. And the mother of the child, I've worked with for a while, so we have a bit of a rapport as well. I helped her out with her kid for a while now, so there's a good relationship there. So as we proceed with the rest of this show, if you happen to hear a situation where my phone rings or whatever the case, my phone's on vibe right now, but if you hear the vibe sound, just know that I will be pausing this and I will be taking care of that. And if that's the call that I'm waiting for, then that's probably going to be the end of the show. I don't think I'll be redoing another one tomorrow. As a matter of fact, I think I'll be heading to the hospital tomorrow to figure out what's going on and to find out more information. So, I had a big plan for this show. I had a lot of stuff about, you know, I've been doing my homework recently. Last week we did a show on the business side of things when it comes to pro wrestling, and I was able to do a lot of research and put some things down. Same thing here. I had a lot of ideas, had a lot of plans, did some researching, but my researching kind of came to a screeching halt, as well as my studying. I have an exam next week, and this could not have come, you know, I say selfishly, it couldn't have come at a worse time, but I, you know, it's whatever at this point. It's all about him now, my boy Georgie. So we're gonna figure that out. But I don't want to be down and out for this whole episode. I'm still doing the episode because, again, my level of commitment won't allow me to literally do anything else. This has been a part of my life now for the last almost 2 years. As a matter of fact, we're gonna start with that. It's been almost 2 years. October 11th is when we started this whole shindig here. And we are 1, 2, 3 weeks away from that. So as we get closer, I will be giving more information as to what the big celebration will be for that. I can guarantee you this, it will be another live show. I don't think I'll be in Jersey for the most part because I don't think I'll have the ability this time to get to Jersey. It's got nothing to do with the facility. I love going to New Jersey to do those live shows with the phone calls and stuff. I'm going to have to find a different method of doing things for that particular celebration. But I will. I'm going to make it a big deal. I always try to make these little milestones mean something because, you know, you never know when or if you're going to get another milestone. So October 11th, which lands on a Friday. Now, the show airs on the 12th. So if I go live, it'll either be directly on the 11th, which is a Friday, or it'll be on the 12th, which is a Saturday. So I'm going to be live one of those 2 days. So obviously we'll be able to. I love doing the Facebook Live stuff. So we're going to be on Facebook Live for sure. But there may be some other options here because I still want to take the phone calls. I still want to hear the voices. I still want to get involved in conversation. So I'm trying to find a way to incorporate all that as well. So I have 3 weeks to figure that shit out. And if I can stop having negative shit happen to me, I will have a much better chance of figuring that shit out, as opposed to divulging my energy into not crying right now. So that's that. As far as the anniversary goes, I will update you. My update is I have no update. I have to figure out what I'm going to do. And then I will, once I figure all that out officially, because I have an idea, but I have to make some phone calls and secure some shit. Once that is in the bank, then we will definitely let you guys know about that. I'm thinking for the second for the 2 year anniversary, I would really love to do an interview for that. For these celebrations, I normally just put some shit together and we just ball out and we just fucking have fun and we just go joke around and stuff. I think the 2 year anniversary, I want to spend it doing something a little bit more professional, if you will. And so I may have to. That's why I said I have to make a few phone calls and solidify some things. Once those things get booked, then I will pass that information on to you. I also have some interviews coming up, aside from the 2 year anniversary, a bunch of people that I have been contacting, and we're scheduling things as it is. I haven't done a whole lot of them. I definitely haven't done as much as I really wanted to do. And I'm starting to cave a little bit. I'm tossing the idea around of doing the phone interview. I'm not a fan of it. I don't like the sound quality of it. I don't like the miscommunication of it. But there are a lot of people that I want to talk to that I can't physically find the scheduling time to be around. It's kind of figure out schedules with people and all that and the like. So, we're going to try to make all that happen ASAP and, get that content out to all of you. I'm telling you now, folks, I'm just not in the right I am not in the right place right now. I am not okay at all right now, but I'm keeping it together, and I'm gonna do this show because there's actually as much stuff as I wanted to do on this show. I obviously knew I wouldn't have time to delegate to get the information out as fast as I could, and B, I just wouldn't have the same energy for it that it deserves and that I should have for it. So I've narrowed it down to just a few things, and we're going to talk about those few things, and then I'm pretty much going to upload this bitch and be done and worry about next week's episode another day. So that's how that's going to go. So of the topics, I actually named them at the beginning here. As you notice as well, I stopped the cold opens, and the reason for that is because a lot of the material that I'm going to be putting together for the YouTube channel. I'm going to be uploading a lot of stuff to the YouTube channel coming up soon, and I realized that because I tried uploading a few things already, and they were getting kicked off for copyright reasons. They were getting cut off because of music or video or whatever it is that I was adding to these episodes that YouTube did not agree with as far as their standards and whatever the fuck, right? So they were rejecting my videos, so I can always edit them and remove them and then upload them, which is what I'm going to do when I have time, because that's a very time-consuming process. But moving forward, so I don't have to edit these things and spend extra time on episodes that are already done, I'm just going to eliminate the copyright shit altogether. Luckily, I own my intro theme, so that's not much of a problem. I can get a little bit more creative as to what's going to be in the openings from now on. It doesn't have to just be me doing some sort of cold open read. I can do other things. But again, there are only 24 hours in a day, and I am but a mortal man, so we will figure all those things out. So those topics I want to talk about as we get along here, we're going to start with a little bit of fun here. I wanted to talk a little bit about Glow. And the reason why I want to talk about Glow, I've talked about Glow on the show before. I really didn't have high expectations for this. It's based off of a company that, to be honest with you, when I was a kid, I wasn't really a fan of anyway. And as I got older, I learned to appreciate it because I think they're trailblazers and pioneers. And, you know, I know at the time it was girl wrestling and people weren't really big on the fact that women had their own promotion or whatever the case may be. But over time, as we've progressed and evolved, there's a level of appreciation that I have. As a matter of fact, I actually got a kick out of the documentary they had about the original Ladies of Glow. But having said all that, I actually do enjoy the show. I actually enjoy the characters. I enjoy the writing. I love the way that they tackle certain topics, and not just the 80s, but just the single mother deal and the down on your luck actor deal and the fucking shit cokehead fucking director deal. They just have so many backstories and so many intertwining storylines that I really get into it. I actually like it. And the wrestling's clearly horrible, but it's not the point. It's the show of it, right? They didn't need to be cool, crisp performers in order to perform their show. If you watch the original Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, they weren't exactly catch-as-catch-can classics. It wasn't Fez out there putting on clinics. But they were entertaining, and they did their thing. And I think this show illustrates that a lot. I think it's better writing than some of the wrestling shows that are out there, to be honest with you. Doesn't hurt. This particular season that just took place, the season 3 that just took place, had a lot of nudity in it. And not bad. Not bad. It was a nice streak of titties throughout the show, and my wife was taking notice of that. And then, boom, they hit us with a random dick. And, you gotta take the bad with the good, I guess. You know, about 4 or 5 sets of tits, one dick, that's a 4-to-1 ratio. I think I'll take that. I'll take a 4-to-1 ratio. I'll ignore a dick or two to get large amounts of titties in my shows. That's pretty cool. Even my wife had a little bit of an issue with the ratio. You know, not a negative issue, but she was just like, so there's a lot of nudity in this particular fucking season. A lot of fucking things going on. I love the back problem issue with Welfare Queen. You know, an awesome Kong's character. I didn't realize that she could act like that, to be honest with you. She can act. It's pretty cool, actually, watching her on the show. You kind of forget that she's a real professional wrestler. You know, they really lose you in that shit. So, the reason why I definitely want to talk about this season 4 now is that they're announcing, not only are they announcing that it's season 4, but they're also announcing it's the final season. And the promotional material states that they're coming back to hit their finisher here. This is the finishing season. They're going to go home here. This is the finishing season. I just love the fact that they're advertising this in a very wrestling terminology kind of way. It's like, this is the end. We're going home. This is the final season. So it's pretty cool. And I can't wait to see Allison Breeze tits one more time before we get out of here. It would be a rough choice, though. I'm going to be honest with you, between Allison Breeze
And the other lady, Betty something, something or other. I forgot her fucking name. Betty something. It was Betty, right? Betty something? The one who plays Liberty Bell. Those are some very beautiful women right there. Very beautiful slabs of meat right there. That's pretty cool. If I must say so myself. But they're awesome performers too. Amazing actresses. If you watch it from season one all the way through and you take that ride with them, they're really, 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 really good. And I can't wait to see where this next season goes. I'm actually excited for it. Season four, that's going to be exclusively on Netflix. I don't have to plug Netflix. Everybody here knows where the fuck Netflix is. If you haven't seen it yet because you're thinking, ah, it's just shitty wrestling, it's just give it a shot. Because I think the actual creativity of the show might actually fucking surprise you. I really do. And speaking of surprise, the WWE has made a big surprise. I know I said I was going to be toning down a little bit of the WWE conversation, but I could not avoid this. It's Betty Gilpin, by the way. Nice. Betty Gilpin. Nice. Anyway, the WWE made this huge announcement coming up that the Fox debut, SmackDown's debut on Fox, will be taking place Friday, October 4th, and they have their main event set. Kofi Kingston will be defending the WWE Championship against Brock Lesnar, his first match on random-ass television in a long time, more specifically SmackDown. It's been 15 years, 2004. I think you'd have to go back to see Brock Lesnar's last match on SmackDown. It's going to be a 15-year wait to get this man in the ring. Mind you, he's been back with the WWE for literally 7 years. I think people have forgotten that or they've lost track of that. But he's been with the WWE now since his return for 7 years. On a part-time schedule, so it doesn't really feel like it. I get it, but he's been back for a while. And he hasn't had a Raw match. And he hasn't had a SmackDown match in a long, long fucking time. And he will be competing for the WWE Championship on October 4th. So now we have to have the conversation. Kofi Kingston has been the WWE Champion since WrestleMania. He has been the WWE Champion since pretty much, what was that? It was April, beginning of April, April 7th, I believe, is when he won that championship. And now he's going to be competing against Brock Lesnar, which most people would normally say that'd be the death of him, right? That'd be it. It'd be over. He's got Lesnar. That's the end of the run. But now you have to think about it. He's been champion for this long. They've really been running with this whole inspiration deal. He's an inspiration to people and blah, 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 blah. A lot on the line here. I think this is going to be an interesting matchup. I think the timing of this matchup is what makes it interesting. If he won the championship April 7th, they would have booked this match, I don't know, June. Kofi would be dead. He'd be dead. He'd be dead in the water. It would have been a failed experiment. Back to the mid-card he went, but he's been champion now for a long time. A very long time. We're going into 6 months here as WWE champion. I don't necessarily know if they're prepared to take the belt off him, but if you're going to take the belt off of him, October 4th on SmackDown, the debut on Fox, that's an excellent time for a title change. That's why I want to talk about this, because my prediction is that Brock Lesnar is going to win the WWE Championship on SmackDown. This is going to happen. But my thing is this. I can see Kofi being that fighting underdog yet again and getting another shot at Lesnar, possibly at a pay-per-view, and winning that championship back. Because remember, the money is always in the chase, and no way Kofi has been great on top, but he hasn't chased in a while. You know what I just said? Great. Let me pull back a little bit. great strong. I don't know if Kofi's been great, but he definitely hasn't been horrible as I thought he was going to be. I honestly did not think this was going to work, but I have to eat my words on this. It's been working. Kofi Kingston as the WWE Champion kind of works, but I think the reason why it kind of works is because the Universal Championship has taken a little bit of the burden off of him being the WWE Champion. Lesnar as Universal Champion, feuding with Rollins. Rollins and Lesnar back and forth, sharing the red belt, has taken a lot of the the pressure of being top dog, of being the champion on the roster away from Kofi. He hasn't had the fear of, if I collapse, this whole company is going to fall. He's had a little bit of a cushion, and considering the cushion, I'm not saying he wasn't in a situation of possible failure. What I'm saying is it was a little easier not to. And all he had to do was just go out there and be Kofi Kingston, and he's done that. But now we get to October 4th. Now we get to Lesnar versus Kingston. Is this a situation where Kofi now has to, should he be an overwhelming underdog in this? And I think that he should. I actually think he should lose the belt to Lesnar. First of all, it's a good run, about 6 months. No shame in the run that he had. He defeated some solid opponents. He put together some great stories and packages. He's had a hell of a run. So now you drop it to Lesnar. Lesnar does the whole spiel of being the badass and the real fighter and blah, 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 blah. To build towards something else, you eventually get to a high-profile matchup where Kofi goes over, makes him as a star. Just like Lesnar did to Rollins. People are, I'm so sick of Rollins. He's so boring. All right, well, you know what? As soon as people start calling him boring, I know that he's a made man now. Because everybody that people like, when they like him, they like him. And then when they become a top guy, they become boring. Right, Seth Rollins is now boring. He's boring. He's so predictable. Same moves over and over and over again. This is what I keep telling people. Go for the ride, man. Go for the ride. Because enjoy the ride, because they're not always going to be there, man. They are not always going to be there. How many people? Burn it down. Burn it down. Even now, the same people tell me he's boring and he's doing the same things over and over and over again. Are the same people chanting when he does the stomps? Are the same people getting behind him when he comes off the top? So it's whatever. But we go back to Kofi here. Kofi Kingston just needs to go out there. What is that? That is a siren in the background? Right next to my fucking window? Are you for real? I'm fucking podcasting here, you piece of shit. By the way, ambulance, where were you when I needed... Okay, I'm going to save that story for the end because it's gross. So I'm going to save it for the end. But where was that ambulance when I fucking needed it the other day? Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Anywho, Brock Lesnar competing for the WWE Championship. I say he wins the belt. Kofi comes back later on, wins it back. What say you? You let me know in the comments what you guys think is going to happen. Lesnar and Kofi. As a matter of fact, I may do a post about that. I'm going to do a post leading up to this episode. Early Saturday morning, I'm going to do a post. And we'll find out what you guys think is going to happen here between Lesnar and Kofi Kingston. I'm going Lesnar. Lesnar taking the WWE Championship, only to drop it back to Kofi sometime down the line. That's what I got going on with that. And you know what? I'm not even going to wait, because I think I'm done with this whole Lesnar thing anyway. Let's get into what the hell I'm talking about here. This ambulance situation, okay? I didn't need an ambulance, but this is what I've been saying about my week, okay? Is it physically possible to have diarrhea and constipation at the same time? I know it's an oxymoron. I know it sounds on paper like it's physically impossible, but I digress. I have to tell you this. I shouldn't be sharing this because it's a very personal story, but we're family. We're family. We're family, like Max said. We're family. Right in North Carolina, we're family. Right? We're family. Okay, so look, here's the deal, son. I've had some blockage, but the blockage hasn't been full blockage. You understand what I'm saying? You know when you put like a wood log up, like a wood log dam, like a beaver dam made out of wood, logs, sticks, twigs, the whole shebang, right? Wooden dam around the water. And even though it's stopping the water, right? It's completely blocked. It's keeping this river away from destroying the population and destroying villages filled with children and senior citizens of the like, right? But even though it's made of wood and it's keeping the river back, there's always little leakage, right? It's something that comes down. It doesn't just stay completely watertight. It's not a sealant. It's wood, right? So there's always a little bit of seepage and all kinds of... Anyway, yeah, I think you know where I'm headed with this. So I think it's possible to be constipated and diarrhea. Because I've been suffering these little constipation fucking pains in my gut for a while now. Like these little rib-busting little situations in my tummy. And I always feel like I don't have to go. But then I go, and it comes flying out of me. And I mean flying out of me. I mean changing the color of the porcelain kind of flying out of me. All right. I know this sounds disgusting, but follow me on this because I think I'm on to some sort of epiphany when it comes to this. So I'm thinking to myself, I must be constipated. Before it all flew out of me, I'm thinking, I've got to be constipated. So I started ginger ailing. I started doing all kinds of weird shit to soften my stool, okay? I'm trying to make it more comfortable. I'm trying to soft serve this bitch when I get to the toilet, okay? So I'm putting all kinds of shit into my stomach, trying to make sure I ease up. I'm Pepto-ing. I'm fucking ginger ailing. I'm doing all kinds of shit. Nothing. All of a sudden, I perforate that dam. I get into the toilet, kablooey. It's like Nagasaki. It was a whole thing, a whole shebang in there, flying out of me. It's coming out in chunks. No logs, folks. This is all coming out in pieces. It's like a Stephen King novel all spread out into Barnes & Noble. It's disgusting. It's all over the place. It's making a mess. I don't know what to do. I'm scared for the women and children in the building, the facility that I'm in. It's a horrible situation. Mind you, I think I skipped the fact there that this all flew out of me at work. So there was a lot of people in the building. I feared for it. I had no aerosol can. I couldn't light a match. There was nothing going on. Whoever walked into that bathroom was just facing pure death, okay? I mean, the Grim Reaper's behind the bathroom door with his fucking thing, wondering to himself, how did he even get stuck into this situation himself? So it's really, really bad. So that's why I say constipation and diarrhea at the same time. Normally with constipation, you struggle, comes out solid. It's a whole lot. It's not a whole lot of fiber deal going on to it. But it came out watery like diarrhea. So I had this whole deal, and when I came out of work, I felt 10 pounds lighter. I get back into where I'm doing, and my boss walks over to me and says, hey, man, you all right? You look a little relieved. I said, yeah, I just had a little case of the consteria. And he was like, what? I said, right, consteria. I had some constipation diarrhea. And he was like, impossible, impossibly, it can't be done. Oh, no, it can be done. It can be done. Exhibit A, motherfucker, right here. This is what happened. I had some consteria. I was all blocked up here. All of my jimmies here. Ribs are rattling around. All kinds of stuff. The meat's shifting around. I got a stool sitting here waiting to be delivered. I'm in the center position with Tom Brady behind center. I'm trying to release this bitch, but it wouldn't come out. So I had to soften it up, stool it up. I basically gave my stool an ass whooping with all these things that I was doing. And I pulverized it and tenderized it. And when it was time to release, motherfucker, it released. Hatch, full on, boom, pull ripcord out of the plane, 30,000 feet to the ground, and splat. That is what happened. So if I were you, I would not only stay away from the facilities, I would call in a fumigation system, I would call in sanitation, I would call in I would call the CDC in on this and try to make sure everything that's in there was copacetic. You understand what I'm saying? So that's my situation. Consteria. Look it up. If you can't find it, that's probably because I'm going to be patenting it at some time. But I definitely had some situations. I needed an ambulance. I was ready for an EMT. I really was, to assist me in this little situation. But alas, there was no one left there to help poor little O as he was, no, not little O, big O was in there having a big old problem. But that's fine, because I got rid of it as soon as I possibly could. I'm so glad to get that off my chest. Almost as glad as I got it off my stomach, because it was, you know, consteria. Anyway, we're moving on to the final topic here, because again, I'm going to wrap this thing up. We've been talking for too long as it is. I was trying to keep this thing short, and I'm already divulging into the 30-minute mark here. But the last thing that I want to talk about, and this one is what I really, really want to talk about, because, listen, this is a situation that a lot of new wrestling fans are not familiar with this, okay? This is new territory for them. We're still, crept up on me. If some of that consteria came back up, oh my God, oof. Man, I should not have had the meatloaf earlier. That is a decision that is coming home to roost. Oh, man. I might have a bullet in the chamber right now. Germany tanks away. Listen, we're here to talk about a possible war. NXT and AEW has been the tip of everybody's tongue. I've talked about it a few times here on the show, and we're not going to talk about it now. But I'm bringing it up as a point of reference and content here because NXT came up first. NXT had its first show this past Wednesday, September 18th, 1 hour show. And right off the top of my head, first of all, 1 hour show, thank God. Still in Full Sail, thank God. This show was booked a little different than its normal show, because a normal NXT show would focus a little bit more on storytelling and jobbers and building up characters and building up storylines. It felt like a little mini takeover, just a little bit, because they just kept kind of throwing things out there, and they had the four-way and then a squash match. Very interesting. But I definitely want to talk about this show before I cut everything off, because this is why I don't feel it's much of a war. You understand? I know that I already displayed all the information about how the boys would feel, how the promoters would feel, and how fans would feel. Who's this war really for? I don't think this is much of a war yet, because the war would insinuate back and forth. I said it a few weeks ago. I'll say it again. NXT is a far superior brand to AEW at the moment. AEW has a lot of room to grow, and they have a lot of opportunity with a lot of new stars that they can build and tell new stories, and they have access to fresh faces. They got a real shot here. This can become a war at some point. It is not a war now. I have seen three AEW pay-per-views, 4-hour show, 3-hour show, blah, 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 blah. That one NXT hour, in my opinion, beat the fuck out of a lot of those shows. Maybe not entirely, because all those AEW shows had some great matches on them. But for my money, if you had a gun to my head and if you took me back to my childhood when I had to choose Raw or Nitro, there was no DVR back then. There was no streaming site back then. You had to choose. Now, I already laid out my plan for you and how I was able to watch Raw and Nitro, but had I not had the option of a replay, I would have had to choose Raw or Nitro. If you're putting me in that situation now, if you're taking, oh, I'm 36, right? So put 16-year-old AJ into that situation, NXT or AEW, I'm watching NXT. It's a far better product. It just is. I'm not saying they have the, well, they do have the best talent in my opinion, but I'm not even leaning towards it because of that reason. The presentation of the product is just fucking different. Okay? The matches were decent length. They told a good story, taking you from point A to point B. They told me who the talent was. They played promotional packages for Adam Cole and Damian Priest and just people that weren't even booked on the card. But here's what you're going to see down the line in the future. If you keep tuning in to NXT, this is the type of talent you're going to see. All right, the Keith Lees, the Dominic Donovan Dijokovic's, and all these different guys and all these different gals that they have on the NXT roster. They just kept promoting their talent. This is who this is. This is what they do. This is how they got here. Here's the fucking match. We have a Fatal 4-Way for the NXT Women's Championship. We brought out, once we had a winner, we brought out the NXT Women's Champion so you could take a look at her. You could see who it is. It's the same deal with the promotional package leading up for Velveteen Dream and Roderick Strong. They burnt that couch. And at first glance, you think to yourself, why is he burning a couch? But they explain to you all the different, they showed you all the different times he rolled out on the couch, what that couch means to him, and then they burn it. They gave you a reason for almost everything that was on that goddamn show. This is why I prefer NXT. They explain things to me, they keep me in the loop, they tell me who I should be really looking at and keeping an eye on, and those who are on the up. On the up and coming side, and working their way up, we still haven't seen. They didn't throw everything on the wall. We still haven't seen the Street Profits. We still haven't seen Gargano. We haven't seen the champion, Adam Cole. He made a little bit of an appearance toward the end to help Roderick Strong walk away with the championship, which was another thing. They followed through with the prophecy. Undisputed Era now holds all the championships. They're going to go with them as their top stable. They're going to separate them. They're going to have Adam work on top. Roderick work with all kinds of different talent in the middle for the North American Championship, opening up the shows with the tag titles like they normally do with Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. This is going to make pound for pound a stronger card with these four guys working on opposite ends. You're going to have a top show top to bottom every week. On television, and I had people hitting me up that this is one of the best episodes of wrestling on TV in years, and it was. If they can continue this momentum, it's going to get even bigger. It's going to get even better. AEW, I believe, will get bigger. I believe will get better, but at its current incarnation, I'm not as big a fan of AEW as I am of NXT. Now. I have to say this with this whole thing. NXT is firing the first shot here. AEW is going to get their chance to respond. We're going to see if this weekly atmosphere is going to have the creative that it deserves, the timing that it deserves, the storylines, hopefully, that people will be able to deliver. Because a lot of these guys, like I saw my AEW, have never even run storylines. They've never run programs before. So we're going to see what they can do. We're going to see what they're capable of. And I expect AEW to grow from this. But if you're telling me right now, AEW versus NXT, based on what I saw on Wednesday, holy fuck, AEW is in a lot of trouble. They're in a lot of trouble. I want AEW to succeed. I want another major promotion to come in and challenge the WWE and challenge everything that we think about pro wrestling and change the game. I want that. I don't feel like AEW is doing that. Not yet. Not yet. I think once the company's firing on all cylinders and it's not just about the Elite and they have other stars that aren't named a Jackson or a Jericho or a Moxley or an Omega or a Rhodes, even Spears to a degree. If you can get Spears over like you want to, I don't know why you'd bury him on his first match, which is what they ended up doing, but if you can keep that momentum going, I don't know how much more we have with the Lucha Bros to come up and section them off. Because to be honest with you, I keep being told over and over and over again that the AEW is going to try to have the best tag division in the world. They're struggling right now. There's not a whole lot of great tag teams in there. All right, Lucha Bros, Young Bucks, Pride and Powerful is coming up now, LAX, Private Party. You guys haven't seen shit yet, by the way. When PNP fights Private Party, holy fuck. Get ready for that, guys, because I got a chance to call those matches in House of Glory, and I'm going to tell you right now, Ortiz and Santana against Private Party is going to be off the fucking hook. It's going to be great. So they're developing best friends. I'm not as big on the Dark Order as a lot of other people are, and I'm not as big on Angelico and Evans as a lot of people are. So they got room here, okay? They don't have a mid-card championship just yet. They're thinking about it, toying with it, but they do have an AEW championship, and that belt already tied in with some of the older guard. So who knows? We have to wait and see how this goes, but I just wanted to go out there and go on a limb and say NXT was fucking awesome. NXT wasn't perfect. I can nitpick a lot of shit from that show that I was not a fan of, most glaring of which was that Fatal 4 that opened up with it. Because I just, and this is just me because I've seen matches for a long time and I've called matches and I've been a part of putting matches together, and that 4-way was just, God. It wasn't bad. I'm not going to say it was bad, but it was just hard to watch because you can just see all these different timeouts just taking place. It was like they put four women together, but they refused to have them together at the same time. It was so weird. They would take a bump, they would powder out. They would take a bump, they would powder out. And they would set up, like, by the rope. They're by the rope. Okay, hit me. And then they get hit, and then they would powder out. And then they would, like, over-exaggerate the powder. They powder out to the side. They'd flail or whatever. And they just left to try to leave as few amount of people in the ring as possible. If that's the case, you shouldn't have had a fucking four-way. You shouldn't. They were playing this shit almost like a Royal Rumble. Every time they could take a bump or whatever the case may be, they would come to the side and just let the other two people fight. It was a four-way with a... It was labeled a four-way, but it was a series of different one-on-one matches. And it just go over and over and over and over. And it irritated me to no end. I was just done. I was irritated. That's the short version of it. I just didn't want any more of it. So anyway, yeah, that's one thing. There are a few others, but we can do that all damn day, and I just don't have the time for it. So anyway, yeah, so that's the NXT stuff on the USA Network. I can't wait. There's lots more to discuss, I know. I'm not giving myself enough time to really do what I have to do, but like I said, guys, you're going to have to bear with me on this one. I need a mulligan on this one, guys. I still did some new content, but I need a mulligan for this week, and I'll be back next week to do it all again. All right, guys. So, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing, and of course, thank you for enjoying. Hopefully, you enjoyed this episode 107.
100 episodes now. Pay him.
And make sure that you buy my husband's T-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM. Please, he needs this.
Listen to my daddy's show. He's the best, so I don't know.